Praise God. We give God praise and we give him. And he heard. Someone could just text me. If you can hear me, just let me know that you can hear me. Let me know that you can hear me. Praise God. Just text me. Let me know. I'm not quite for sure. Into the radio broadcast, and I don't know if I'm connected. I don't know if I'm being heard on tonight, but if someone would just let me know that you can hear me speak before I can go any further on the line. If you can just, like I say, send me a text if you're calling by phone or inbox me and text me or inbox me and let me know that I am being heard on tonight. Because I don't know. Praise God. If you're listening, give me a call. Just let me know what's going on. Thank you, Jesus. We do praise God on tonight. We do bless him on tonight. We 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 bless him on tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Am I being heard? Can anyone hear me?
Glory.
Yes. Glory to, okay, yes, thank you, Jesus. I can hear someone. Oh, my God. I just bind the enemy in the name of Jesus. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Mother. This is Anthony. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing? God bless you, son. God bless you. Oh, my God. I've been calling in and using a different device, and all of a sudden, I heard nothing. It was just complete silence, and I had to try another route to call in, and so I'm glad that I can be heard at this point, so now we can go on with the show. I wasn't for sure if anyone heard me or not. You know, anytime God puts up a word that's going to bring deliverance to people, the enemy attempts to come in and block it, but we just bind that up now in the name of Jesus. We bind up every hindering spirit, every lying spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we just give you the glory. We give you the praise. We are not defeated in the name of Jesus. We are not defeated, but we are victorious in you in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, your kindness on tonight. For you are worthy to be praised and you're worthy to be glorified. We will go on. We will march. We will move forth because we stand and breathe in you. For we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And Father, we just bless you on tonight. And we bind up every hindering spirit, every lying spirit, every spirit of hindrance and blockage in the name of Jesus. Father, we dismantle the will, the plan of the enemy in Jesus' name. And we declare and decree that no weapon formed against us, it shall not prosper in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we give you the praise and the glory, for we do have victory in the name of Jesus. We have victory on tonight, and we just thank you because you're just so awesome on tonight, and we just bless you in Jesus' name. God, have your way on this broadcast. Release wisdom and knowledge and understanding on tonight for those that will call in and listen. We pray that you will give us what to say, and those that are listening, that they will grasp the wisdom of God, the plan of God, and your understanding in Jesus' name. So we give you praise and glory. Thank God for you, a man of God, for coming on and sharing. I have been reading your posts for quite some time, just reading and reading, and thus far I have been enjoying what you have been writing up, and especially those things on relationship. And because I have written, I think the last time you saw me, I have written working on my 17th book, I believe. I think on my 17th book, I believe that's what I'm working on, my 17th book. And most of my books, there's a mixture of them. There's a relationship course, there's leadership, relationship prayer journals and things like that, leadership manuals. So, you know, God is good. God is good. We thank God for all that he's bringing us through, and he's just awesome. So tonight, I want to welcome those who are calling in. Welcome those. Are you still with me, son? Are you still with me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, just want to know that I'm still being heard. I want to make sure that I'm being heard and I can hear you. Want to make sure the reception is still clear and it's still good. So we just thank God. We give him praise and we give him glory for those that are calling in. We still have people that are calling in. So God, we just thank you tonight for those that are calling in. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Radio Talk Show. This tonight is Relationship Wednesday, and our topic is it love or lust? We're actually probably going to have a smorgasbord table on tonight where we're probably going to talk about several things. We had, it took us about 10 minutes to call in. And so, but now we're here on the line, we're here, and, we're just going to let God do what he needs to do on tonight. We do have an hour and 16 minutes on the air. So I'm going to go right in to, I'm going to start some things off, Elder. I'm going to start some things off, and then we're just going to dialogue back and forth. Some more people begin to call in. We do have people calling in, but we're going to move right along. We can't wait because we just have to move on. But you know what? I want to start off with this broadcast is I'm disturbed with relationship. I'm disturbed concerning the things I see in relationship with those in the church, not so much those that are on outside of the church, those that are in the world, but I'm very disturbed and just disappointed of how I'm watching relationship among the brothers and the sisters, the men and women of God inside of the body of Christ. It's very disturbing to me, and I want a big trumpet to where I can just stand on the top of the mountain and just speak some wisdom and gather the women and shake them. And, you know, what are you doing? Even with the men, what in the world is going, what are y'all doing? You know, what is going on? So tonight we're going to be talking about relationship. We're going to be talking, is it love or is it lust? So many people now are marrying according to lust. They're married according to lust. And they think it's love, but they're marrying according to lust. And I'm gonna skim out a few things out of my book. Don't ignore the red flags. I'm just gonna skim through it. Just pull some topics out, some nuggets here and there, because the book is too big for me to try to go over the whole book. Because I want to leave the platform open for those that are calling in to just give their viewpoint, give their perception, give their experience, because I believe if we put all of our wisdom nuggets together, I believe that we can help somebody. You know, we can help somebody to make the right decisions, because I believe we've all been in there and messed up relationships and made mistakes, and I pray that we have learned from those errors and those mess ups that we made in relationship. I'm praying that we will just grow thereby the mistakes that we made. That's how we grow. We grow by making mistakes, but not continue to keep making the same mistakes over and over. And that's what I'm seeing in the body of Christ. I'm hearing a lot. I'm not in the midst of all this stuff that I'm hearing. I'm really thanking God that I am not in the midst of all of the things that I'm hearing that's going on in the body of Christ. Is saddening. You know, men of God that are married, messing around with women in the church, and oh, it's just sad. It's sick. You know, this kind of stuff you should hear about that goes on in the world. This is what they're doing in the world. But why is it that this is going on in the house of God? Somebody's not saved somewhere. And then somebody needs to be delivered. You know, this is a cutting edge. So I speak, I'm a controversial a woman of God. I'm not afraid of controversial topics. I'm not afraid to speak and teach truth of controversial. It's a cutting edge. God's word is cutting edge. His word is cutting edge. So tonight is it love or is it lust? Many people marry with lust. They marry because they think they love that person. You know, to the best of their ability, they believe that they were in love when they went to the altar and did not realize that when they went home, they had to live with the character of that person. They married their personality at the altar, but then when they went home to live together as husband and wife, they began to unfold or unwrap or unclothe the character of that person and watch and see someone that they didn't notice that was there all along standing before them. I wrote a book on that one, too. You have to just buy these books because they're so powerful. You know, there are many different levels of love, many different levels of love. But we want to make sure that when we meet that person that God has for our lives, we want to make sure that we have the agape love of God. So many of us walk into a relationship and we love from Eros love. We love from that Eros love. And that Eros love is that fleshly love. It's that luring, desiring love. And we think it's the real love. But that Eros love will not contain you. It's not going to hold a marriage because it's an Eros love, E-R-O-S-E. It's an erotic love. It simply is an emotional sexual love that is based on strong feelings towards another, meaning you get attracted by physical and mental traits alone. It usually occurs in the first beginning stage of man and woman, romantically relationship. Although Eros love at times might make us feel like we are on a natural high, it cannot provide a reliable basis for building a deep and strong relationship since it is so inconsistent and dependent upon perception and circumstances. Eros is probably what most people mean when they announce, "I'm in love." I'm going to stop right there because this is going to be a smorgasbord tonight. We're just going to put all of our goodies and our wisdom and experiences in the pot. We want to make sure you understand that which love that you have. Is it real love, the agape love, or is it really lust? And if you're married for lust, I want to say this, and then I'm going to have Elder Anthony to come in and just share his insight, perception. And there's another young lady that is supposed to call in. I don't know if she's on the line tonight, but I wanted to just to pull a little wisdom, a little bits here and there. But if you're married for lust, you get married and you get divorced 6 months later, a year later, then that's not real love. That's not the agape love of God. That's not the real love, because the agape love of God will hold you together. The agape love of God has no reason to love. It doesn't need a reason to love. It loves because that's what it does. The agape love of God loves you forever. It's a standing. It's a foundational love. It's a unconditional love. It's a love. It is not unbalanced. It's not unstable. But it's a love that will love enduring out the duration of the marriage, you know, through the ups, through the downs, through the sad parts, the bad parts. It will endure because the agape love of God has a different foundation to it versus the Eros love, the lust love, that attracted love. So I'm going to just ask Elder Don Anthony, what give us your thoughts tonight. We're just going to kind of just piggyback and throw some things in. I don't know if the young lady that I was conversing with on your post yesterday, I don't know if she's called in or not, but we're going to just converse back. So what are your thoughts? What would you like to share with the people concerning relationship? What is your nugget for tonight?
I mean, there is such a vast area to cover. I'm going to try to cover what I can in a short space. First thing is, we shouldn't use the word love when we're trying to establish a relationship. And the reason why I say that is because in English, love is the worst word to use to describe something. See, we have so many types of love that we utilize every day that can be misinterpreted and is misinterpreted on so many levels. You have a mother. You have a love for your child. You have a love for your mate. You have a love for your job. You have a love for the type of food you eat. you have different types of love for different types of reasons. Now, what's happening is when you use that word, I go in my imagination and I imagine what I think you mean. Meanwhile, you meant something completely different. So what I do is, like, I try to find another word to use besides love. If I'm really interested in somebody, I say, you know what? I want to be committed to you. I care about you. Or I like that food. This is my child. You use alternate words to describe where you are. Because when you say love, people's minds go from the far west to the far east. From what is pure to natural to unnatural to supernatural. It's like when you love God, that's a whole other kind of love. But if I say, you know, the Lord is my Lord, I'm telling you how much I love him because he's my Lord. If I'm telling a woman I'm committed to you, that's my love. It's not about using that word and then letting somebody else imagine what they think you mean. You can get to your mom. Another?
You're going in and out. You're going in and out, son. Are you outside? You're not outside, are you?
I'm stable right now. Hold on.
Okay.
But I figured I would give you a space to say something if you want to add.
Okay, yes. Okay, yeah. It's something I was thinking when you said that. When you said, I want to be committed. What I'm thinking about is something I wrote in my book. The communication of a man and the communication of a woman is different. And when just listening to you, and you don't want to use the word love so much because people can misinterpret the word love, and you're absolutely right, especially when it comes to a woman. Now, the communication of the word love to a woman is a little bit different from the communication of what love means to a man. I was just listening to you, and when I remember this this pastor, a young lady, she was picking up the pastor. She was picking the pastor up at the airport, and she's a single young lady, and she was picking the pastor up at the airport, and he said to her, he said something to her. It was a warm greeting. I think it was a warm greeting. I can't remember what he said. He said to her, "I love you, sister," or something he said, but she took it the wrong way, took it in the wrong way, and she was thinking that he meant that he actually loved her. And so I thought about that, and I was listening to you when you were using, you said you a commitment, your love means commitment. When you say commitment, that means love. And I was thinking about this sister, that she took the man of God, misunderstood what he said, because he was not speaking to her on that level. She wasn't speaking to her on that level. So I believe men and women have a different language of love, the way they communicate love or show love. And I believe when a man understands, if we can understand each other's language of love, then we won't be confused by what that man means and what that woman, because the women are more open when they hear the word love, especially if it comes from a man. It's like, oh, he loves me. But yeah, I think a man should communicate that very well.
Well, it's not just men and women, it's love in general. Remember, when you're talking to a child, you say, "I love you." It's different than when you tell a woman you're interested in, "I love you." It's different when you're telling your son, "I love you," than when you're telling an employee, "I love you." Than when you're telling your mother, "I love you."
Right.
When you're telling a stranger or someone you just happen to be endearing of. So love can be misinterpreted because, like, if I tell you I love you, people on this radio don't know what I mean.
Right.
You know, you as a spiritual mother, some folks will say, well, they both are single. you know, some folks say, well, maybe this, maybe that. And people will go that far without even asking us what we mean.
Exactly.
Happens all the time. Well,
yeah.
Not without, if I say, mother, you're a mother to me, they know what I mean.
Right. You're absolutely right. And I believe you're absolutely right. I agree with you. But I believe that's where maturity must come in at with people. I believe that when you have relationship, I don't want to go off the relationship because I can go another way with this, but I want to stay on the relationship. Is it love or lust? Because we definitely have to identify, we have to identify whether we're dealing with lust or whether we're dealing with love. We have to understand what, I believe when we understand what real love is, then we won't confuse love with lust, because we confuse love with the feeling. I was listening to Miles Monroe, Dr. Miles Monroe, maybe a month ago, and I was listening to a series that he was teaching on relationship. And this was about, this was about relationship. And this was so powerful. I listened to his CD twice. I listened twice. I'm going to listen to it again because I said I was going to listen to it three times so I can really get the nuggets and the importance and the get all of the wisdom out of it, because I want to hear it again. So I listened to it twice. And the second time I heard it, I heard more from it the second time than I heard the first time. But it was something that he explained about love, and it just blew me away. And he talked about the real agape love. He was talking about relationship. And he said, if you love your wife, he was talking to the couples that were in the room. He said, love, and I've never heard anyone say this in all, I'm 61 years old, and I've never heard anyone say this about love in the way that he said it. And it blew me away. And he said, love, he said, when you meet someone, he said, why do you love them? You know, and I'm listening. He said, when you meet a person and you tell them that you love them, he said, why do you love them? He said this. He said, if you can tell that person why you love them, he said, then you don't really love them. He said, you don't know what really love is. So I'm stopped everything I was doing. And I said, huh? So he said, and I played it back, and I played it back. And he said, if you can tell that man and tell that woman why you love them, and if you can give them reasons why you love them, he said, you don't know what love, real love is. And so I said, oh, God, I just paused then. So he began to explain and say this. This is what he said. It was so powerful. He said, when you say to a man or a woman, when a woman say to a man, well, I love how he looks. I love the way he dressed. I love how he smiles, or I love how he walks, or I love how he makes me laugh, or I love this. When you begin to explain, or vice versa, the man may say, I love her hair. I love how she shape. I love, you know, how she smells. I love her pretty eyes. I love her, you know, what, you know, the features of her face, her lips. And he said, when you can tell that when you say that to that person, he said, then that person has to maintain that what you love. So if you love their long hair, he said, then that person is going to have to love that long, keep that long hair, because these are the things that you associate love with. And he said, that person or that man, whatever it is about them that you loved, they're going to have to keep that up for the rest of their lives. And when he said it the way he said it, I said, oh my God, oh my God. I saw something completely different. I saw something completely different that I never saw before in my life. He said, but the agape love of God, he said, the agape love of God doesn't have a reason to love. It just loves you. And when he said it that way, I said, Lord, I need that kind of love. Because the way he explained it, I realized that I need that kind of love. He said love needs no reason to love. It doesn't have a reason. It doesn't look for a reason to love. It just loves because that's what it does. It loves you without any chains. It loves you without any conditions. It just loves you. So when you get old, the long hair is not there. The muscles for that man is not there. Love still loves that person. That blew me away. So I've been listening to that, and it's awakened my understanding to a whole nother level. So, and I want to go back and say this. What disturbs me is I see so many, it's a post that you wrote, Elder Anthony. I don't remember if you, the one that I made a comment on, I want you to elaborate. I was trying to find that post that you were had post up. It was so awesome. I was trying to see if I can find it so you can go back and I can read some of it and you can just elaborate on it. But I want to say this. What disturbs me now in the body of Christ is so many single women are getting married and they're just getting married because they think they love that person. And then the next year, they're not married. Or 6 months, they're not married. It's because they don't really understand what love is. And other things are involved. There's no counseling. You have to have counseling. We have to have counseling. We have to make sure that that's the person that God has sent that is fitted for our life. We have to understand that it's he that is finding a wife. So it's so much here that has to be rearranged, and understanding has to be reset in the body of Christ, because I hear a lot of women say, God sent. I just wrote a book called Relationship Menu, because I've heard so many women say God sent him. Even heard some men, God sent her. But the next thing I hear is, you know, the marriage is not working. They're arguing, they're fighting, they're, you know, seeing somebody else, or they're not speaking for this. I'm like, what in God's name is this? This is not God. God is, he's abusive to me. She's not doing this. I said, God, this is not you. I said, God, scripture says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor of the Lord. Then the scripture also says that the blessings of the Lord make a rich and add no sorrow. So where is God in all of this? So I'm very disturbed at so much that I am seeing. Elder Anthony, do you remember that post you put up the other day that I respond to? I wanted you to respond, and I was trying to see if I can find it so I can read it back to you. I wanted to see if I can find it.
I can't remember the post in general because I put up so many. But I will address this. The reason why in the churches you see so many things happening is because we have to understand. We know that there are those who want to be perfected in the flesh, and we know there are those who are allowing themselves to be perfected in the spirit. You can be unequally yoked together with another Christian.
Yes, that's the post right there. Yes, that's the post right there. Go ahead and say that again.
Be unevenly yoked with other Christians.
Yes.
If the person is not on the same level as you are, y'all won't be able to agree. You can't walk together.
Yes.
They're folk who are carnal. A spiritual-minded person did not walk and agree with a carnal-minded person. Some people are meant to be single but want to be married. Some people are meant to be married and end up marrying somebody who's meant to be single.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem that we face, because we're not allowing God to show us who we're really dealing with. See, God has to show us who we're really dealing with.
Yes.
Then we make better decisions. You know, so it's like, if you ever notice, you ever see people love each other, can't live in the same house? seen that so many times. Two people who genuinely love each other, they do not live in the same house.
Yes.
Why? Because one of them has prepared themselves to be married, and the other just wants to be married.
A lot of people
with the idea of being married, but they don't want to deal with the responsibilities of being married.
That's good. That's good.
Well, a lot of times what happens is, that man, again, I use this word, whose level of commitment is not at the same level that that woman might be. Then you have some women whose level of commitment is so high to God that they still have no respect for the man they want to call their husband. You have all of these things that are added. Carnal Christians, spiritual Christians, unevenly yoked, unprepared, not really seeking his face, and like you said, walking after the flesh. So see, most people want to get in that bed. That's really what most people get married for.
Yeah.
Because they want to be undefiled.
Yes.
But at the same time, there has to be a balance. And that balance is missing. Watch this here. Check this out. Do you realize that the marriage license is the only license in this country that you can get where you do not have to take a class or pass a test?
Yes, yes.
The marriage license, only license that you can get in this country where you don't have to take a class or have to pass a test. These are the things that we're looking at. People who are not prepared properly, people who are not set properly, people who haven't taken the time to find out who they are properly. But I'm going to give it back to you. Go ahead, Bubba.
Yes, yes. That's good. That's good. I'm just going to put you on back in the chat room because I can hear the air. I think I can hear a little background. So I'm going to just put you on hold, and I'm going to bring you back on air in a few minutes because this broadcast is being recorded. So just hold on. I'm going to bring you back in. You can still hear me, though. Yes, that's very good. It's something, a comment you made. I want to make a comment behind it. It's really good. I wrote it down. Responsibility of marriage and the idea of marriage. That's good. That's good. That's a good way to look at that. That's another side of it. The reason why some marriages don't work is because one has prepared themselves. I believe I heard you say prepare themselves for marriage. And then you have the other who has the idea of marriage. And you're absolutely right. And that's really a good picture to look at. So when you have two people in that marriage, you're right, unequal yoke. I did a radio broadcast actually on that maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago about you can be unequally yoked. You can be a saved man and a saved woman, and you can still be unequally yoked. You can still be unequally yoked. And this is a very good example here because one can have the responsibility of marriage. They have prepared themselves for the responsibility of marriage. That's good right there. Marriage requires responsibility. And the other person can just have the idea of marriage but not having the responsibility of marriage, and that is unequally yoked. Yes, that is definitely unequally yoked. You've given out some other examples. I found your post. It says one can be a part of an inner circle as the elect of God. You can't just marry anyone, and they must be able to cover. Right, they must be able to cover to protect the anointing on your life. Now that was something I saw. I said that's very good. I said, because when women, and I've said this also, I believe I said this last Wednesday, I was saying to the women of those that were single listening that you must be able, when you say yes to that man, you got to make sure what you're saying yes to, because when you say yes to him, you're saying yes to that man to cover your life. So if he is not delivered, if he doesn't have the responsibility of marriage, if he has not been prepared for the responsibility of marriage, then he's not going to be a very good covering, because you're thinking that you're on the same page. I also talked about being on the same page, making sure that you both have the same mindset, being responsible, having the responsibility of marriage, understanding the response, what the responsibility of marriage carries. So all of these things we have to have. I didn't know all of this when I first got married, because I was just 17 years old. So I didn't know all of this. I didn't have all of these nuggets. I didn't have all of this wisdom. But now God has given it to me. I'm writing books on them. And this here conversation talk show can go on for another couple of Wednesdays, because there's so much to talk about, insight on responsibility of marriage, being prepared for marriage, not just having the idea of marriage. And there's something else you said, son. You said there are those who are single who gets married who are really meant to be single. And then there are those who are married that don't need to be married. I forgot how you had that. You had that. Let me see. Tell me how you. I'm bringing you back in because I want to make sure I said the right. Go back and repeat that part, son. You said there are those that are single that want to be married. Say that again.
There are those that are meant to be single. Some people are not meant to be married. I learned that through wisdom. I learned that through studying and watching. There are some people who really and truly are just not meant to be married. And then there are those who are meant to be married. Now, the problem comes in is when someone who is meant to be married hooks up with someone who isn't meant to be married.
Mm. And this,
because now you're talking about taking a bear and a pussycat, and you're trying to make a family. and it's not going to happen. Two completely different worlds, two completely different likenesses, two completely different titles, positions. I mean, everything about each one of those is completely different. There's no way you can combine those two. You know, and the thing is that we try to do what is against what's in us to do. There are some of us who have made up in our minds, you know what? I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live right. I'm going to walk upright. There's some of us who have made up in our minds, I'm going to live my life. If you got a mentality where you have in your mind you're going to serve God and you're married to somebody who has a mentality, I'm just going to live my life, it is not going to work. And this is, and the sad part is you'll find this in the churches.
Yeah.
You'll find this in the churches too. I found out that there are things you would never believe that people have attached themselves to because they didn't ask the Lord for guidance first. And when you really look at people and watch very carefully, you can tell the difference between a carnal Christian and a spiritual Christian. And you really just watching long enough, you know, because a carnal Christian, all they're interested in is carnal things. And yeah, they might be perfecting themselves to get their degree, to get their papers in order, to get their licenses, to get their doctorates. Yeah. All these things of the world to make them perfect in the world, and they haven't even taken the time to labor for God to get their spirit cleaned up yet.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
They need that those who are the opposite. They spend so much time before God that they don't know how to live with anybody else as human. I know a lady, right? And she had told me like 30 years ago that God said that I was her husband, right? And the lady was a nice lady. She loves the Lord, and she really loves God. And I sat there, and I'm like, okay, this is a nice lady. You know, the Lord, they spoke to me about this thing. You know, let me just listen, you know, see what she's saying, find out what's going on with her. Maybe there's something there, you know, because you got to give her the benefit of the doubt when you ain't hearing God speak to you at the moment. And it was a funny thing because she was so much in love with the Lord. If your name wasn't Jesus, you couldn't be her husband. and people understand when you have that kind of mentality, no man is going to be, because no man is perfect. No man is Jesus. No man is perfect. perfect 24/7. And women, I say this to you because I love you. Stop asking your husband to be like Jesus. He ain't Jesus. And if you want to be like Jesus, you better be ready for him to pay the price that Jesus paid. You know, people don't understand. When you be like Jesus, you better be ready to give your life. Because guess what? You're going to get your behind whooped.
You're
going to go through the Jesus treatment.
Oh, my God. That is so true. That is so true.
A lot of times in relationships, what we do is we tend to overemphasize too much on one side or the other. That's why we have to have balance. You have to have a prayer life. You have to have time on your knees. You have to have time in the Word. You have to have time going to school. You have to have time researching. You have to put the balance together so you can be a whole and complete person. And then when you're a whole and complete person and you find another whole and complete person, then you're a whole and complete family. Relationship's not complete, and we expect the other person to complete what we don't have. But the bottom line is, that's not what Jesus wanted you to do. That's not how God designed you. You see, 50 plus 50 equals 100%, right? But check this out. That means I got my apartment, you got your apartment. So we move into your apartment. I pay half the bills, you pay half the bills. I do have to work, you do have to work. Okay, that 50-50 thing sounds good, but guess what? You're still in the same situation you're in. You're still in the same place, probably have the same job, doing the same things, at the same level, a place that you don't want to be at, and now you got this person, which you don't agree with, and half the time you do agree with. Now, if you're 100 and 100%, instead of being this 50-50 garbage, and I call it garbage because you don't go nowhere, and this is where people get unsatisfied. You know, they married this person and nothing changed. They're still in the same situation. When you're 100 and 100%, I'm taking the bus, you're taking the bus, we get together, hey, now we can get a car. You're in an apartment, you know what, now we can get a house. And you begin to evolve. And then when you start to see your life evolving, you start seeing things changing, then you can be more happy and then you can be more content. But some of us get involved with people, we ain't going nowhere, they ain't going nowhere, we take it into our house. We share the bills, and we're still in that same neighborhood we hate, that same apartment we don't really like, around the same people we're trying to get away from. We thought we were mad at this person. We need to get rescued and get away from them, folks. But the same problems, same situations, and now I got you.
Yeah, that is true. Is getting married, it requires responsibility. It requires responsibility. And something you said, I was thinking about, most of our African-American people, I'll put it that way, what I notice is that we don't put valuable time in things that's valuable. Marriage is valuable. And I notice that we don't put the valuable time in far as research. Before you even get married, before you marry a person, there should be quality time spent making sure that it's real love that you have for that person and not the spirit of lust, because lust will only last for a moment. And even though we need the eros love, even though we need all the different levels, there is about seven levels of love, and we have to make sure that the one level of love or degree or dimension of love that we have should be the agape love of God. And we actually need to pray for the agape love of God. We need to pray and ask God to give that to us. So either, well, we have Christ in us. Let me back up and reframe that statement. We have Christ in us. We have the Spirit of God in us. So we do have the agape love in us. We just need to ask the Lord to allow that love to manifest through us and to teach us and to show us how to walk in that agape love. Let me read this here real quick. We only have just about 30 more minutes on the air. Let me read this real quickly. The young lady that I thought was going to be on, she has not called, so I won't worry about it. It says, the agape, unconditional love, It says the highest level of love is agape. I'm reading this out of my book, Don't Ignore the Wrong Flags. An unconditional love. Agape love is above philos love and eros love. It is a love that is totally unselfish, where a person gives out love to another person, even if this act does not benefit her or him in any way, whether the love given is returned or not. The person continues to love even without any self-benefits. Wow. What manner of love is this? Unconditional love that sees beyond the outer surface and accepts the individual for whom he, she is, regardless of their flaws, shortcomings, or faults. It's the type of love that everyone strives to have for their fellow human being. Although you may not like someone, you decide to love them just as a human being. This kind of love is all above sacrifice, as well as giving and expecting nothing in return. It is the love demonstrated by your behavior towards another person. It is a committed and chosen love. Agape love is also a blend of two other types of love, eros and storge. This is the love of altruism, of giving without asking anything in return, and of sacrificing oneself for another, oneself for one's partner. Many would consider it to be the purest form of love. We must ask God, pray for this agape love. It's in Corinthians where it talks about, it gives you the characteristics of the agape love of God. And if you're honest with yourself, we first have to be honest with ourselves. Now, we're still dealing with relationships. But we got to lay foundation with relationship. We have to research. We as African-American people, we need to research things out. We need to invest in ourselves. We need to invest in good counseling. We need to invest in good books. We need to invest in understanding before we walk into a relationship. Now, what I know now, I didn't know back when I got married at 17 years old. I didn't have this type of information. I didn't have this type of wisdom. I didn't have this type of understanding and knowledge. If I had had it, I guarantee you I wouldn't have made the mistakes that I did. But we live and we learn. Wisdom comes by making errors and going through hardships and experiencing things that doesn't feel good to us. And we learn and we glean from it and we grow by it. So pain sometimes is our best friend. You know, we don't like pain, but sometimes pain is our best friend, because at times, in some cases, pain will protect us from walking in the wrong door, connecting to the wrong people. But when we are developing a relationship, Son Anthony said, there are some people just not meant to be married. And that is a raw fact. That is a true awakening. There are some people not meant to be married, that marry someone that's meant to be married. I wrote that down too. The people that are not meant to be married, married a person that is meant to be married, but you're still going to have conflict. You're still going to be unequally yoked, because the person that was not meant to be married is going to go through a struggle period. They're going to go through a struggle. They won't be really comfortable. They won't have that mindset of responsibility for marriage, because they weren't meant to be married. They won't fit. That's so that person that's not meant to be married is not going to fit in a marriage with a person who's meant to be married. It's going to be a conflict. Go ahead, son.
Now, I want to make it clear when you are talking about marriage and you are talking about relationship, and this is both for the man and the woman, you have to have the same level of commitment as the person that you're getting yourself involved to. Some people are only committed to being friends. Some people are going to commit themselves to be friends with benefits. Some people are going to commit themselves to be a true husband and a wife. And then there's some people who are going to take the full commitment and say, you know what, I'm going to commit myself to love you like the Lord loves you. Everybody's not signing up for the same commitment. Everybody's not asking for that. And the point I'm trying to get at is this. And ladies, gentlemen, I want you to understand what I'm saying very clearly. If you cannot trust the person that you're getting to marry to actually have authority over your life, to marry them. And this is both male and female. Because in 1 Corinthians, it tells you how the man doesn't have power over his own body but the wife. And how the wife doesn't have power over her own body but the husband. And that you should render due benevolence unto each other. Now, most people think that's about sex. No, it's about everything, because your mate will see things you don't see. That's why I said you have to have someone to cover you. Us guys, we tend to be blind, especially when it comes to other women. But our women see what the other women are doing. We might not know, but they see it. And they'll pull our collar in a, you know, hey, no, you don't need to go there. Why? They're just friends. No, that ain't no just friend. You need to come on over here. Let me deal with you and show you what's going on. And see, and believe it or not, there's something real that we all need. And guess what? Women need to know, if you don't have someone who you can trust with your life, that you can commit your life into their hands, the same thing with the men. You can marry them. That's what? All of us have this thing in us where we feel like we want to do what we want to do, and we need somebody in our life who's going to tell us, no, you can't do that. Stop. Beyond your authority. Stop. You're going beyond your limits. Stop. You're going beyond the rights that you have. Because we don't realize that we want to continue to go further and further. Sometimes we go so far out of the box that we're not even in the box anymore. There is a certain amount of limitations that we have. There's a certain amount
You're going out, son.
Huh?
You're going out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, something you just said. Now I can hear you pretty good. Just say the last few words you just said a minute ago.
We have a certain amount of authority that God has given us, and we also have a certain amount of limitations that he's given us as well. And it takes your mate to help keep you in that distance, because we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. We don't like to be told no. We don't like to be told wait. We don't like to be told you can't, even when we know we need to. We will try, and this is both men and women. It ain't just men, women too. I know some pretty beautiful women who can't get married because they can't submit themselves to nobody. Meanwhile, they want their man to submit to them, but they won't submit to him. And then we got some men who feel like, well, I'm the man. I'm the head of the household. No, it's not even that. God gave you a wife because it's not good for man to be alone. Your character has to be dealt with. Your nature has to be dealt with. There's other areas in your life that have to be dealt with, and she has to have the authority to tell you, baby, you're going too far. Stop.
Yeah, that's good.
But most of us don't want to deal with that.
You're right. That's good. That's right. And this is just raw. This is just raw, raw truth. I love just being raw. Just be truthful, be raw about it, be realistic about it, because this is a part of life. It's something you said, I just wrote it down. There's a powerful nugget. You must have the same level of commitment. Now, that's a simple statement, but yet a powerful, powerful statement, because it's loaded. That is another. You can be unequally yoked marrying someone that doesn't have the same level of commitment you have. Because you just said, you gave some examples about some, their level of commitment is they're committed to having being friends with benefits. Well, let me just in case when this radio broadcast goes off, I know other people be listening to it. So let me just kind of cap that a little bit. If you are a saved brother and a saved sister in the body of Christ, you should not be making a commitment to someone to have just to be friends with benefits. That is not allowed. Let me just make it plainer. Sex outside of marriage is sin, it's wrong, it doesn't please God. And if you are a saved brother and a saved sister, let me take it a little further. If you are saved and sanctified, Holy Ghost filled sister and brother, you should not be having sex outside of marriage, period.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Being friends with benefits should not be a part of your vocabulary or conversation. It should be, we're going to talk because, and we're going to court. You know, I'm old school, you know, I'm using the word court, but we know this generation calls it dating. And we're going to talk and date so we can get to know each other through conversation because we are planning on getting married. We're talking to see if this is going to bring us to the place of marriage, but sex should not be a part of your vocabulary or conversation. So you should agree on the same level that we're going to talk. We're going to be on this same page here. So that's good. You must have the same level of commitment. And these are very good nuggets that are what I call glue. They're the glue, the part of the glue or the nugget or the nail or the tack that you need to use to keep that relationship together without falling apart. Let me see something else you said. I wrote it down. You must trust that person. Okay, I can't say it how you said it, but I wrote it down. Let me see if I can put it in my language, in my verbiage. Okay, you must trust that person to cover you. Ladies, he was talking to you. Talking to us, ladies, that you, the person that you are interested in, but you must make sure that you trust them. The word trust, I'm a word person, so that key word is trust. You must trust that person enough. You have to trust them enough to cover your life, because then when you say yes to that man, you're saying, yes, I trust you to cover my life. I trust you to make the decisions for my life. I trust you to lead me as you follow Christ. Make sure he's following Christ, because he can't lead you anywhere if he is not following Christ. So you're trusting this man of God, this man over your life to make decisions, you know, lead and guide you, and you know, and all of these things. So you know, you have to make sure that this is the person that you want to be the covering, not because he asked you, not because you've been waiting a long time and waiting 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, and however many years, and he likes me, and oh, I'm going to marry him because this is the first person that I've had in a long time was interested in looking at me. No, those are all, I am here to tell you, those are all the wrong reasons. Make sure you have good counseling. Make sure you are on the same page. I think that's the same thing Son Anthony was saying. You must have the same level of commitment. That to me means make sure you're on the same page. Make sure that everything you're communicating about and you're talking about, you know, make sure you're on the same page. Make sure that it's okay. You have to be okay with him making decisions for your life. You've been single for 10 years. You've been making all these decisions for yourself, and here comes this man that has to make decisions for not only himself but the both of you. You have to be ready for that mentally. Have your mind ready for that. It's no more. I think I posted something up last night. I posted something up somewhere. I don't know if it's in one of my books, but I posted something up somewhere, and I said you can't have a list and he have a list, and then you get married and you still have the same, you still have your individual list. That those individual lists must be, you must throw those out and then come together and have one list. Because if you get married and you both have those individual lists and you're trying to be married, that's going to cause conflict in the marriage, because it keeps you on separate roads. It keeps you on separate paths. It keeps you with separate thinking. But when you bring your, throw those separate lists away, and then you develop a list together. You develop this one list together, because now you're one. Now you should be developing of the same heart, you know, the same mind. Yes, you're going to think different because you're different individuals, different personalities. You may like, he may like toast with peanut butter and jelly on it for breakfast, and you may like a bagel or a croissant with some strawberry jam on it. You know, those are the different tastes of personalities and things, but when it comes to serious things, life issues, life discussions, where your life is going to go together, you know, what kind of house you want, how many kids you want, you know, you may not want any kids. That's not being on the same list. That's not having the same level of commitment. So this is good. So making sure all of these things are covered, you know, make sure all these things are covered before you, lady, say, I do to this man to cover your life, and vice versa. Any men listening to this, make sure that that woman is wife material. Let me throw this out there for the single men who may be listening to this later on. Make sure the wife that you chose, because the scripture says that he defined a wife. So when the wife that you find, not God find a wife, but you find a wife. God gave you the authority and the legal right, you know, the spiritual right to find your wife. You find the wife. God will guide you. You can say, God, guide me to the right one. But you find the wife. The scripture says that. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. And obtain the favor of the Lord. Go ahead.
Yeah. Because I want to clarify also with the trust issue, because I know there's a lot of people that are hanging on that trust thing. What I want to say is this. Trust is never, ever supposed to be freely given. Trust is always, in every circumstance, in every condition, in every way you can see, must be earned.
Earned, yes, yes.
You do not give it. It is not a toy. If you give it and they don't earn it, they will abuse it. Straight up. Earn it. And I say this also, I'm not saying all of this just to the women, but to the men as well. When you marry somebody, if they haven't earned that trust, where you can say my life is in your hands, you don't need to marry them.
Okay.
Because your life is in their hands. Remember, like the scripture Corinthians says, they have power over your body, and you have power over theirs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. You belong to them, they belong to you. A wife has the right to demand her husband's presence home if she wants him home. And guess what? A husband has the right to demand his wife's presence home when she wants to hang out with her girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's a right. But this is, if you don't trust them enough to listen to their judgment, then you don't need to marry them. And that's both sides. Because, I've seen women save men's lives because they listen. The man listened, he heard his wife, he heard the woman, and she seen it. We don't see everything. That's why God said it's not good for a man to be alone. And he took all that, God took all the head man in him and brought woman out of him so that you can have another perspective. You know, and the same thing with women. You ain't doing everything by yourself. You ain't trying to. But guess what? If you got that man there, he's going to see the pitfalls you don't see. And that's why that way. Because he makes sure that we're covering each other. We're responsible for it's not about the boss. You know, now, the line is this. When you begin, when they've earned that trust, where you can say, you know what? I trust this person. He told me I better not wear that dress today. You know?
Yeah.
And you can trust her to the point where she can say, you know what? That beard you got on got to go. Go. And guess what? She has power over that body.
That's
and guess what? She's got power over your body. Now, if you got that power over you that you don't trust or haven't earned your trust?
That's right. That is so, you know, let me say this. That is so true, because I was listening to the judge. I love watching the judge pictures, all of the different judges. I love watching judge pictures. And I was listening to this particular judge. Judge Hatchett. I was listening to her. And she does a divorce thing. So I listened to her. I listened to all the judges. I love the glean wisdom and knowledge and all of that. And so I was listening to that, and something you just said triggered that back. This was a husband and wife was in the court, And the husband, he had to go to prison, and they had gotten married at a young age. Well, he's 13, he's 14 years older than she. So when they first got married, right after she got married, the police, because they got married at the courthouse, so the police came and got her husband and took him straight to jail. He was arrested for something he had on his record for a while. And they just picked him up and got him and sent him to prison for a whole year when they first got married. So anyway, he got out. So while he was in prison, he was reformed by the Muslims. Okay, well, we won't talk about that, but he was reformed by the Muslims. His mind was different. You know, he had a different attitude, a different mindset, different rules, different conduct and character and all of that. So long story short, standing before the judge, he says, he tells his wife, he doesn't like his wife wearing low-cut clothes and these tights type of things, and he would tell her, take it off, because she was showing too much cleavage, and the tights were not proper for her to wear. And so she was complaining about that. So I stopped and looked at that picture, and I said, I said, okay, Lord, I have to agree with him, because when you said that about having power each other's body, I thought about that scene where the husband was taking power over the wife at that particular time. No, you cannot wear that blouse because it is showing too much cleavage. And no, you cannot wear those tights out like that because that's showing too much. It's too seductive. Well, now I agree with that. I 100%, okay, ladies, those are going to be listening to me, don't throw any stones. Don't throw any stones. This is the part about being responsible for marriage, because when you become a wife, you can no longer think like a single woman. You have to think like a married woman. Having a single mindset is completely different from having a married mindset, because when you're single, you think like a single woman, you dress like a single woman, you know, you go places, you come and go, you come in certain times. But when you are married, you have to think now as a married woman. You have to transition over to a married woman. You have a husband. It's disrespectful for you to dress with revealing clothes on, your top's too low, your cleavage is showing. That's disrespect to your husband, wearing tight, seductive stuff. You're not trying to draw anyone. So this husband had a problem with that. He also had a problem with her coming in at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, I think that's a problem, too. I said, because now that you're married, your wife, you shouldn't be coming in at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning while your husband is home. So that part I definitely agree with, far as being subject to each other. Scripture even says, Ephesians 5 and 25, it speaks on, I believe it's a little 23, might be 23, where it says for the husband to be subject, it says to be subject one to another. It starts off with being subject one to another. That's how it starts off. So right there, Paul is teaching the husband and wife, okay, be subject one to another. But watch this. The subjection is different for the man and the subjection is different for the woman. It doesn't mean that you're subjected to each other in every way. The woman is to be subjected to her husband to her husband in his leading. And the husband is to be subjective to his wife in her needs, or in sometimes in her wisdom. Because sometimes, I think I heard you say this, son, that woman sees things that man may not see all the time. Not taking anything away from the man. It's just that she carries that insight at times that man doesn't see. And if that woman says, honey, that woman is after you, or honey, that woman is da-da-da, you better rest assured your wife knows what she's saying, because women know women and men know men. So we have to be subject to each other. That husband and wife need to be subject to each other, but it's a different subjection, submissiveness. It's a different surrendering there to each other. And if we research, get premarital counseling. If you desire to be married, get premarital counseling. I think that would be very good to have premarital counseling so you can know, prepare yourself how to be a husband, and know and prepare yourself how to be a wife. My goodness, my goodness. Son Anthony, you want to share? We have just 13 more minutes. You want to share just a little bit more on this? Anything else? I was reading your post. I think you kind of like said everything that you had up on your post. I did find it, and you pretty much touched everything on it.
Yeah, I want to say that the anointing that God has given us is precious, and we really have to protect that. And you have to have someone who's willing to help you protect that. You know, if you're not having, if you have someone in your life who's not willing to help you protect the anointing that God has given you, then the enemy is using them to hurt you. And it's not that the person is bad. It's just that when you have someone who doesn't have the same level of commitment you have to God and to you, which is another reason why we go through what we go through, because you can tell if a person's not committed to God, you know they're not going to be committed to you. I mean, let's just be honest. You know, and the thing is that, you know, you might be the lady with the two mites who give it her all. You might be Abraham who God asked to sacrifice his son. You know, I mean, it's just like you might be the one that God's asked sometimes. Offerings. What's your level of commitment? That's how God blesses you. That's why some get blessed 30, some get blessed 60, some get blessed 100-fold. He measures your commitment. Any relationships, what is it worth to you? What are you willing to pay? What's the price you're willing to pay to make the relationship work? That's how you know where you're at. I'm done.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yes, this is good. This is good. Wow. Your relationship doesn't have to be difficult if we educate ourselves. If we educate ourselves in relationship, learn, you know, I have so many books. I have Relationship Menu. That's a good book I have. Don't Ignore the Red Flags. I have Making Wrong Decisions. I also have a book for men that's called Adam, Formed from the Dust of the Ground. That book is written solely for a man, for the men. And in that book, I don't tear men down at all. I don't tear men down at all. Actually, I have a heart for men. And in that book, I write to the men, encouraging them, giving them their identity, show them this is who God made you to be, the man of the house, the king of the house, to have the order in the house, but how to walk according to God's word towards his wife, how to cover her in love, how to cover her in that order, how to align the order of God in the house. Because if he's out of order in the house, because he's an authority figure, then everything else in the atmosphere of that home will be out of alignment, and that will create a spiritual catastrophe in the atmosphere of the home. So in that book, I really encourage men to what God called them to be, who God called them to be, and the responsibility God has given them in the earth to take dominion in ruling the earth, not rule over his wife in a dominant way, but to rule in love and kindness and to dwell with her according to knowledge, knowing her, you know, because of she's the weaker vessel, knowing her because she's the sensitive vessel. So I really encourage men in that book, Adam Formed from the Dust of the Ground, to really empower them, to encourage them. This is the king. God has called you to be a king, you know, not someone to be an abuser over that woman that God has placed in your life. So I've had some people have bought that book and they took it home and gave it to their husbands. And one woman of God said to me, she said, that book is really helping my husband. It's really opening his eyes. And so I was blessed to hear that. But I have so many books on relationship. Just because what we're talking about on tonight, we're talking about relationship. I have another book on relationship too. It just invest in yourself, invest in your marriage, invest in, if you're married and you're listening, invest in your marriage. If you're courting, invest in that. If you're seeking and waiting on God to send that person, then invest in yourself while you're waiting. Invest in yourself so God can prepare you as Esther's and Ruth's for that man of God that is coming for you, and just use wisdom, walk in that relationship with wisdom, making sure that you're on the same page, you're on the same level of commitment. I like that. I want to tell you this real quick, son Anthony, I want to tell you this real quick. So you'll know, just in case, some I have kind of gotten just some of your little posts, just some little quotes you have. And I have a book that I am writing. It's a prophetic book. It's actually prophetic speaking. And I have little quotes of just different ones, little quotes. And I'm compiling them all together, different wisdom and nuggets to just be a blessing to other people, because I believe it needs to get out there so people can just read. And it's almost like a devotional. It's just a little small, small book. So, but I'll send you a copy of it when I'm finished. I'll send you a copy of it. I've seen your copy.
Anything that I've written on Facebook is accessible to you.
It's okay.
Like, anything written on Facebook is accessible to anybody.
Everything. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm gonna, because there's a lot of little good nuggets you have that need to go in there, because it's a particular book and it's called Prophetically Speaking. And I took some of those little wise things. I thought, this is so good, because I wanted to get out there where people can just in their devotional time just sit and just glean from it and just get this wisdom from it. Because it's like some of the things you said here, I'm going to use them. I'm already going to tell you now, you must have the same level of commitment, and you must trust and earn. So all these here, relationship, we're being responsible for relationship, all these little nuggets you have, I'm going to just throw those little nuggets in there, because yes, because this is what is needed for us to just to glean from. So this has been very good on tonight. I see that the Lord has done some things in you, and all of that. We've continued just to be praying for you. And so just thank God that God is just good. So we just thank God for this broadcast on tonight, just all of the wise nuggets and the wisdom of God's word. So I want to pray before we go off of the air. I want to pray for every single man and every single woman that is listening to the sound of my voice. We just need to just wait. I know the word wait is, it sometimes is painful, especially if you've been waiting for a good while, but you know, it's better to wait for the right fitted person. I always use that word. I'm using that word, wait for the right fitted person for your life. There is someone that is fitted for your life. They're fitted. They fit you. You fit them and they fit you. And that is the same as you're having the same level of commitment. You fit each other's ministry. I heard Son Anthony say that about even the spiritual level. So many areas we have to just add up the costs and line it up and ask questions, 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 ask questions. I'm thinking about Pastor Creft O'Dollar. He said, ask questions. He did it so funny. He said, make sure you ask plenty, plenty, plenty questions. And so we want to make sure that where their spiritual life is. I think I heard Son Anthony say that. That is so true, because of your spiritual level. And I've heard some people say, well, their spiritual level may be one. No. Make sure that they're able, especially if it's a woman, you want to make sure that his spiritual walk, he's able to cover you. You know, cover your life. You know, you want to make sure you actually cover each other's life, but you cover each other's life in different ways and different functions. There's a different function, a different way that you cover each other's life. So you want to make sure that everything is fitted. So wait for God to send that fitted person in your life, that maturity. Look for maturity in each other. Just don't marry. Make sure you're not marrying out of lust rather than love, because I think we've all done that in the past, you know, in our mistakes. We married out of lust. We married for the wrong reasons. We didn't ask enough questions. We didn't discern the fruit on the tree. Discern the fruit on the tree. That just dropped in my spirit. Discern the fruit on the tree of that person. Discern the fruit. Make sure that they have the fruit that matches up with the Spirit of God. Make sure, make sure, make sure. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, your kindness. Father, we just thank you for every person that has called in and will be listening to this broadcast thereafter. Father, we ask that every single man and every single woman, that you would grace them to wait on the fitted person that's for their life, that fitted roof that fitted Joshua, that fitted David, that person that fitted Boaz, that fitted Ruth, that one that is fitted for their life. Father, the one that you have cut out to pattern their life, their pattern for each other's life. My goodness, they make each other laugh. They on the same page. They on the same level of commitment. They have trust. They've earned the trust. Oh my goodness, and they have responsibility for marriage. They have grown in the level of responsibility. They have prepared themselves for the responsibility of marriage, and they are ready to be married. They're fitted for marriage, not just fitted for each other, but they're fitted for marriage. Father, we just give you praise and glory. We thank you, Father, that in the year of 2017, perhaps before this month is out, that fitted person will show up in each person, in that person's life, in our lives. And Father, give us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the counsel. Father, in the meantime, prepare us to be that individual as a child of God, you know, full of love, full of kindness and care, full, you know, full of forgiveness, that we'll forgive and we'll love. Just prepare us in our integrity and our character in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we just rebuke and bind up the hand of the enemy, every backlash spirit of retaliation, accusation, every spirit of sabotage. We bind that the spirit in the name of Jesus. We cancel out the assignment and the schemes and the plot of the enemy in Jesus' name. Father, we render the plan of the enemy powerless, ineffective, inoperable, and nullified in our lives, in our relationships, in our ministry, in our walk with you in the name of Jesus. Against our health, we bind it in Jesus' name. Father, we declare and decree that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. Bless each and every one on this week, that they will have a blessed, safe, happy Christmas with family and friends, and everyone is safe and they're traveling on the road and the highways, and that everyone is whole in their mind and their soul in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We bless you right now. So thank you for calling in on the Cutting Edge tonight. We're going to post up what we're going to do before the new year come in. We're going to have a prophetic panel of prophets to come in and just begin to speak and declare for the year 2017. So stay tuned for that in Jesus' name. God bless you. And we're going to thank you, Son Anthony, for joining in, being a blessing to us on tonight. And for those who have called in listening, thank you so much. May the Lord bless you. May his grace rest upon you and go before you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to close out tonight, and we're going to say shalom to all. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.